Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
How nice to be here with all you nice devotees. Our program this evening is going to follow on, basically, from our program last night. We are taking shelter of Govardhan Hill. This is what we are doing. And in the process of taking shelter of Govardhan Hill, we are introducing our new Govardhan book. Govardhan, the hill that fulfills all desires. So, some of you saw it last night. We'll just pass it out now, actually, might as well. And just quietly have a look. Be careful, it's heavy. Put together, it's just an advanced copy put together by hand. It's not sort of so resilient, you could say. And if it's held the wrong way, something may break. So just be careful. And have a quick look. And pass it on to the next person. And last night, we introduced Govardhan Hill in a general sense by explaining some of the history of Govardhan Hill. How, according to Shastra, and in terms of the pastimes of the Leelas, how Govardhan Hill appeared in Goloka Vrindavan. Although Govardhan, Goloka is eternal, everyone and everything in Goloka is eternal. Of course, there is no thing in Goloka. There's only living beings, and the ground is alive, and Govardhan Hill is very much alive, an eternal associate of Lord Krishna and a form of Lord Krishna. But in terms of the Leela, the pastimes, the rasas, the relationships and mellows there in Goloka Vrindavan, their descriptions of Govardhan Hill appearing. As I said, in terms of the Leelas and the Rasas, and we mentioned how last night, Will was actually from Garga Samhita of Vedic literature, how Krishna looked into his heart and his love came out of his heart, pouring out of his heart, and poured out and all over everywhere, and became Govardhan Hill. So this is all. This is one aspect in terms of Leela Rasa, like that. And then Govardhan Hill came down to planet Earth. We described that. And then we talked about some of the qualities of Govardhan, that Govardhan is the Lord plus the best of the Lord's devotees. Remarkable position to be in. Not really contradictory. You might think it's contradictory, but it's not really. Because the Lord relishes being in the position of a devotee. Lord Balaram, well, we mentioned last night how if you ask Krishna who is God, Krishna says, me. A straight answer to a straight question. But if you ask Balaram who is God, Balaram does not say, me, although he could. He certainly could, of course. But he doesn't. When he's asked who is God, Balaram says, Krishna. He is in the mood of a devotee. And many other, in fact, so many other forms of the Lord are also in the mood of being devotees. And more than anything, it's really Krishna who has that mood that I am God, I am the Supreme Lord. But eventually Krishna got the idea, of course. Why is Balaram in the mood of a devotee and the various other, so many other forms of Krishna? Why? Because it is much nicer to be a devotee than to be God. Much nicer. And therefore Balaram, he has that mood. And Krishna, well, he eventually got the idea. When Krishna went back to Goloka Vrindavan after having been here 5,000 years ago, Krishna was thinking how nice it was here. All the devotees were serving him in so many ways. He was so happy being loved and served and glorified in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. But then something struck Krishna very deeply. Krishna suddenly realized, wait a minute, even though I was so happy there on planet Earth, being served by the devotees and having them express their love for me in so many ways, but actually, Krishna thought, it seems to me that the devotees were happier than me by serving me. Even though I was so happy being served by them, but they were enjoying more than me by serving me. And Krishna went deep into meditation and thought about this. And Krishna thought of some particular devotee there in Vrindavan, and that devotee, he thought, that devotee was twice as happy as me. That's a lot, isn't it? You're not just 10%, 20%, twice as happy. And some other devotee was 10 times happier. Oh, that's staggering, because Krishna is really happy being served. He is just really, really super duper happy. But now some devotee was 10 times happier. Krishna was just astonished. And then some other devotee was 20 times happier, 50 times. Some devotee, would you believe, was 100 times happier than Krishna, and Krishna's head was spinning. And then Krishna thought of the gopis. One of the gopis was 1,000 times happier. Just completely inconceivable. Another gopi was 10,000 times happier. Another gopi was 100,000 times happier by serving Krishna than Krishna was by being served by her. Another gopi was 1,000,000 times. And then Krishna started getting up, started thinking about the higher level gopis, like the Astasakis, Manjaris. 1,000,000 times happier, 10,000,000 times, a billion times happier. Finally, Krishna thought of Srimati Radharani, and she was 10 trillion times happier. It's completely inconceivable. And then Krishna got the idea. Wait a minute. What is all this being God about? I want to get the nectar. I want to be a devotee. Then he appeared as Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, so Govardhan then is the Lord and the best of the Lord's devotees at the same time. So like this, we introduce Govardhan Hill, the history, and some points about Govardhan Hill. Now we are going to start our Govardhan Parikrama. And this Govardhan Parikrama will take us some days. Please be patient. Where I was just in Russia in a couple of festivals doing exactly the same seminar. And I said, you know, we had these festivals for like 4 days, 5 days, 6 days a year. Each festival. And at this rate, I told them, to complete our Govardhan Parikrama at this rate, it will take about 7 years. A few days at a time, a few pastimes at a time, a few places at a time. We will, over the next couple of weeks, at some of the programs, we'll continue on with the Parikrama. But it is a nice parikrama because your feet will not hurt. And you'll not feel tired and exhausted, which can happen. It really can happen, and it really does sometimes. But you'll feel fine. You'll feel very relaxed and happy. So we're going to start our Govardhan Parikrama at Manasi Ganga, which traditionally is where devotees start their parikrama, although there's not really a hard and fast rule. We often, in fact myself, generally we start at Kusum Sarova because it's a nice place to finish. It's a nice place for taking a bath and having a swim and so on. Not a lot of people around usually. So you can start anywhere. But there's a tradition of starting at Manasi Ganga, which is right in the middle of the hill. And it goes right across the hill. In the middle, if you look from, you know, the one end to the other, it's pretty much right in the middle, Manasi Ganga. So let us start our parikrama there. And, well, you know, we all offered our obeisances to start. Normally when we start parikrama, we offer our dandavats. So we can do that mentally. And say a little bit about Manasi Ganga. Because Manasi Ganga is a very special place. Let me read a verse about Manasi Ganga. This is a verse from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, from his Govardhan Ashtakam, verse 7. Yatraiva Gangam Anunavi Radham Arohya Madhye Tu Nimagnanauka Krishna Hiradanu Galobabosa Govardhano Me Dishatam Abhishtam. While Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna were sailing on Manasi Ganga, their boat began sinking. Radharani desperately held onto Krishna's neck. And the Lord looked strikingly handsome in this way. may Govardhan Hill always fulfill my desires. So now, Manasiganga means, Manasi means the mind or from the mind, and Ganga means the Ganges, River. The Ganges, which came from the mind of Krishna. Very amazing idea. Krishna one time, near Govardhan Hill, not far away, Krishna killed a demon named Vatsasura. Vatsa means calf. That Vatsasura, the calf demon. It was not, when we say calf demon, we don't mean some calf which just went off the rails a bit. Just, you know, became very nasty and demoniac. We mean a demon who transformed himself into that shape in order to try to fool Krishna that, you know, I'm not a demon, I'm a calf, of course. Calves are nice. Calves are very nice. So, you know, don't worry about me. I'm good. And he wanted to then sneak up and kill Krishna. This was the idea. It's a bit of a long story, but basically, Krishna killed him. Grabbed hold of his rear legs, spun him around over his head, and Vatsasura died from the centrifugal force, the G-forces. And Krishna was really happy. Because, you know, when Krishna kills a demon in Vrindavan, it's a celebration. The cowherd boys just roar and clap and cheer and pat him on the back, and demigods shower flowers and beat drums. It's really a wonderful, wonderful moment. So this is what happened. He killed Vatsasura. Then there's this whole fanfare and congratulations. And Krishna thought, yes, I'm pretty cool. Pretty cool. I get these demons and I just wipe them out. So in that mood, feeling kind of transcendentally happy with himself, proud of himself even, Krishna went over to Govardhan Hill, right to this area, in the middle of the hill, when you go from one end to the other, because the hill is very long and very narrow. It is more than 10 kilometers long, it may be 11, 10 to 11. And at its widest point, it may be not a kilometer wide, it may be 500 meters or something like that. Yeah. So, but long, really very long. And do any of you use Google Earth? Do you know what it is? Yes. You can find Govardhan Hill on Google Earth. Have you done that? Oh, yeah. You can see it completely in detail, practically every rock on Google Earth. So Krishna went over there, and there were the gopis engaged in some cowherd girl activities, and Krishna sort of strutted up, like, you know, I'm pretty cool. And he said, killed another demon. It was not easy, but I got him in the end. He's kind of flexing his muscles, you know, trying to impress the gopis. And but the gopis were not impressed, to his surprise. And indeed, Srimati Radharani said to Krishna, "We heard you killed a baby cow." And Krishna didn't expect that, because he knew that it's just, it was a demon, a real, like a monstrous demon, horrible, horrific, ghastly demon, who had assumed that form just to fool Krishna and the other counterpoints. But so now Krishna was caught off guard here, didn't quite know what to say. And he said, no, it was a demon. He just assumed that form just to fool us, but he was actually a demon, a killer. And Srimati Radharani said, "Doesn't matter. He was a baby cow. You killed a baby cow. You are contaminated. We will have nothing to do with you at all." And they all just turned their backs on Krishna. And Krishna kind of tried to come around in front and say, "But no, wait a minute. I actually did a good thing. It was not a bad thing." And Lalita, who is very fiery, Lalita said, "Don't come near us. We don't want to be contaminated by your sin of Gohatya, killing a cow. In fact, don't let your shadow touch us." So Krishna's now in a bit of a state of shock. And Krishna said, well, what can I do to get free of the contamination? And the gopis said, well, they discussed a little, and Radharani said, "You have to take bath in the Ganges. Then you'll become purified. Then we'll associate with you again if you're nice." And Krishna said, "But the Ganges, it's 400 kilometers north of here. How can I go to the Ganges? I'll have to leave Vrindavan. I don't want to do that. So what can I do?" And Radharani said, "That's your problem. You figure it out. And for the time being, just leave us alone." So then Krishna, being a very creative person and very creative thinker, Krishna suddenly got the idea, I will manifest the Ganges here. So he did, from his mind, he just manifested the Ganges. It was a river. For those of you who know Govardhan Hill, it flowed from where Manasi Ganga is now, from behind there, and then down to the south on the eastern side, and flowed into Govindakund. So it was a river. Now it's a lake. So Krishna, from his mind, manifested this river and told the gopis, see, it's the Ganges. There you are. And the gopis were a bit astonished, but they said, "Wait a minute. How can you say this is the Ganges? The Ganges is such a long way away from here." Krishna said, "This is the original Ganges. That Ganges to the north, that is just an expansion from this. This is the original and is better." And the gopis said, "Well, wait a minute, come on. How do you expect us to accept that this is the Ganges? It's just some river, some body of water. Prove it." And Krishna called out, Ganga Mai, Ganga Mai. And from the middle of Manasi Ganga came Mother Ganges, Ganga Devi, riding on her Makara. It's something like a crocodile, but it's not exactly. It's bigger and much more dangerous. Yeah? But it looks, you know, somewhat like a relative of a crocodile. And you don't see many ladies riding around and these big crocodile-like creatures. And the gopis recognized, this is Mother Ganges. Oh, and they all offered their obeisances. And Krishna took bath in Manasi Ganga and came out and said, okay, see, now I've taken bath in the Ganges. So now I'm purified. And the gopis said, okay, you can associate with us now. And they started approaching Krishna. And Krishna said, wait a minute. You keep away from me. I am now completely pure. And look at you, you dirty village girls. So he turned the tables around. But don't worry, it all worked out. And they all lived happily ever after. And not long after that, just some days or a week or two or something, a traveling mendicant arrived in Vrindavan village. Yes. So, all the bridge buses, they all gathered and they arranged for a big program that evening with this traveling sadhu. And so everyone came, everybody was there. And the sadhu started speaking. He said, you know, I just arrived from the Ganges. I was just there to the north by the Ganges, that sacred, sacred river. Oh, it was so wonderful. It was just so, so wonderful. He said, you know what happened? Garuda, the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, he came flying across, just almost skimming the water of the Ganges. What a beautiful sight. But, you know, he had hanging from his claws a snake. And the traveling mendicant told them, because, you know, Garuda is non-veg. But we do not follow his footsteps in that respect. Okay. It's just, you know, one of those things. I remember I was sitting on an airplane, Kingfisher Airlines. It was a few weeks before they went bankrupt. A few years ago, whatever. And they had these little air stewardesses, young girls, Indian girls, like 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, that sort of age, in mini skirts. And this one little girl came down, she was serving the meals. And there I am, dressed like this, and she looked straight at me and said, veg or non-veg? Really? You know, normally they're respectful, they're nice. Oh yeah, normally. They're really very nice, actually. But she was just, you know, some Kali Yuga teeny bopper. Where's your number? So, okay. So the Garuda is non-veg. That's just, anyway, some special transcendental thing. Don't worry about it. So the traveling mannequin said, as Garuda flew over the Ganges, just above the surface, that snake hanging from his claws, his tail was hanging down. And the tail went through the water of the Ganges as Garuda flew over. And on the spot, that snake transformed into a four-armed resident of Vaikuntha. And on the spot in front of my eyes, he went to Vaikuntha. Back home, back to Godhead. Sri Vaikuntha Dham Ki. And all the bridge buses, they were so excited. Wow! He went back to Vaikuntha just like that. Wow! We're going to go to the Ganges. We're going to bathe there. We're going to go to Vaikuntha. And all the British buses were just, yeah, let's go, pack your bags now. And Krishna was feeling very disappointed. There the British buses, the residents of Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, but now somehow they've become attracted to this idea of going to Vaikuntha, the realm of Lakshmi Narayan, where the sweetness and the love of Goloka, of Vrindavan, is just conspicuous by its absence. It just doesn't exist there at all. It is simply, everything is simply awe and reverence. And Krishna was thinking, I don't want that, we can't have that. Particularly for the bridge buses, this is ridiculous. Because Krishna relishes love. We offer him some food. He doesn't really care what the food is. He cares about the love. So he is hungry for love. He's not hungry to eat. He gets so much to eat. Too much. Even just here in Lanesha Nittai Gaura Hari Mandir, Krishna gets to eat so much. If any of us tried to eat as much as Krishna does, we would, I don't know what would happen, but you know, we might die, actually, because it's just so rich and there's just so much. Prabhupada said you should feed Krishna like the deity on the altar. Feed him like he's a growing boy. So anyway, Krishna was not happy about this, because the point is the love. And in Vaikuntha there is love. Of course there's love. But it's in the mood of awe and reverence, which compared to the love in Vrindavan, that love in Vaikuntha is, you could say, crippled by the awe and reverence. And you know the difference between a person who's physically fit and dynamic and someone who's physically crippled. You know, that's really a big difference. So Krishna was not happy about this at all. Yes. The bridge buses, every now and then, they do get some little insight that Krishna is not just one of the little village boys. Maybe he's a demigod. Sometimes he does something special. And they think, wow, maybe he's a demigod. Garga Muni, when he did the name-giving ceremony, he said, he will be equal to Narayan. So they think, wow, maybe he is like Narayan. That's amazing. But just momentarily. And then their love just overpowers that little bit of consciousness of the position of Krishna. One time, Upananda, well, he had just heard about the Damodar Leela and the rope and the two fingers and the kilometers of rope. You know, he just had some experiences like this. And it struck him, wow, maybe at least he's some great personality. Sounds like he's God. So Upananda called a meeting. He is one of the older brothers of Nanda Maharaj. He called a meeting. Everyone came. He said, listen, I have something very important to tell you all. That is that our Krishna, he is not just a little village boy. He is the absolute truth. He is the supreme pure. He is the supreme powerful. I've seen it. So you, Mother Yashoda, stop waving your stick at him. Don't try to tie him up any longer. And you, Nanda Maharaj, stop chastising him. Stop telling him off. Because he's a great person. He's very, very special. We must treat him with appropriate respect. And then the Maharaj is sitting there listening. And he said, he interrupted, he said, wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Just hang on. I don't think you know my Krishna as well as I do. Let me just point out a few things. You say he is the supreme truth. Well, let me tell you, he is a liar. I ask him, was it you who stole the butter? And he says, no, me, Peter, no, of course not. And I ask him, was it you who stole the gopi's clothes? Was it? No, I would never do such a thing. He's a liar. How can you say he's the supreme truth? It's just not true. And you say he is the supreme pure. Well, I have news for you. Every day his mother has to bathe him 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Because all he does, he goes out, he plays around and rolls in the dust, and in minutes he's dirty again. So he's not the supreme pure. He's just a dirty little boy. And you think he's the supreme powerful. Well, you don't see him like I do. You know, when there's a thunderstorm at night, and there's thunder and lightning and rain, he comes running into my bedroom. Peter, let me come into your bed. I'm frightened. So he's not the supreme powerful. He's just my little boy. And if he does any nonsense, I'm going to straighten him out. So this is Vrindavan. And it's very different from Vaikuntha, where everything is, yes, sir, no, sir, if it pleases you, sir, that sort of mood. Yeah. So anyway, Krishna didn't want them to go. But he couldn't. He's trying to figure out how to stop them. How can I convince them there's no need? That actually it's better just to stay here. So they packed up and they set off, heading towards the Ganges. That night, the first night, as they're traveling, they stop by Govardhan Hill and camped at Govardhan Hill, just near Manasi Ganga. So there they are, and Krishna approached Nanda Maharaj Pita. You know, you don't need to go so far to the Ganges. The Ganges is here. It's right here at Govardhan Hill. And Nanda Maharaj said, yes, Krishna, good boy. Thank you, but it's okay. You just go and play, all right? And Krishna said, no, Peter, it's true. It's just here, just around the corner. I'll show you. And it's the original Ganges. And then the gopis came. And the gopis said, actually, you know, it's true. We've seen it ourselves. Go and have a look. And Krishna said, yes, you can just bathe here. You don't need to travel all that distance. You can bathe here in the Ganges and get even more benefit. So Nanda Maharaj and the older men, they went with Krishna. And Krishna took them and showed them, see, here it is. There it is. This is the Ganges. Take bath. Fine. And Nanda Maharaj said, wait a minute. There's so many rivers and lakes and Vraja. Why should we think that this is the Ganges? And then again Krishna called out, Ganga Mai! Ganga Mai! And out came Ganga Devi from the river on her makara, crocodile-like creature. And so Nanda Maharaj and his associates, they were convinced, they accepted. Everyone took bath in Manasi Ganga, and the next day they just went back home. So this is Manasi Ganga, very special place. And there are many pastimes there, but one of the main pastimes or types of pastimes that takes place at Manasi Ganga is the boating pastimes. And I don't have the Sanskrit, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes one verse. If one hears about the divine couple's boat sailing pastimes, he'll become stunned in ecstasy, and it will not be possible for him to stop hearing about them. The boat sailing pastimes on Manasi Ganga. So one day, Vasudev, the father of Krishna from Mathura, Vasudev was going to hold a big fire sacrifice at Govindakund for the benefit of Krishna and Balaram. The gopis at the time were at Radhakund, which is right up the other end. But they heard about this and they thought, oh, that's wonderful. Let us take our dairy products particularly the ghee, and it can be offered in the sacrifice for the benefit of Krishna and Balaram, that would be very nice. So they set off walking from Radhakund on the western side of Govardhan Hill. And they came down to Manasi Ganga. They had to cross Manasi Ganga. But at that time it was a river. And not just a small river, it was something substantial. And so they needed to cross. No bridges, they needed a boat. So there are many different versions, or maybe there are many different occasions on which this boating type pastime was performed by Radha and Krishna and the gopis. There are many different descriptions which are a little different. One time, when the gopis, well, at that time, they needed to cross, no bridge, they're looking around for a boat, and they saw one rickety-looking boat. Ooh, real antique. Being held together with chewing gum. And lying in the bottom of that boat, completely unconscious, conked out, was a young boatman with very dark skin. Hint, hint. But they didn't know, they couldn't tell. Who is this? He's just some young, lazy looking boatman. So they went over and shook him and woke him up. And he lifted his head up and looked at them and just went, mwah, and just fell asleep again. So they woke him up again and shook him and said, come on, take us across. What's your price? And he said, no, lunch break. Come back later. And went back to sleep. They shook him and said, listen, name your price. Just name your price and take us across. We got to go. We got to get across Manasi Ganga. So the boatman said, oh, all right then. Just get in and sit down and be quiet. So he got in and sat down. And boatman started rowing very slowly, very slowly. And the gopis said, come on, we got to get to Govindakund. If we go at this rate, we'll only cross Manasi Ganga by sunset. Get moving. And the boatman said, big load. You're heavy girls. And all your pots of ghee and yogurt and butter and everything. Very heavy load. He said, no, I need to get my strength up. I need a prepayment. They had negotiated a price in dairy products, because that was what they had. So this boatman, he ate butter and drank ghee and yogurt and all these things, like ravenously. They couldn't believe it. There was only one other person they'd ever seen before who could just, you know, just eat and just feast like that on dairy products. But they thought, this isn't him, this is a boatman. So at the end of the feast, The boatman collapsed in the bottom of the boat. Ah, big feast. Well, I need to take rest. Yes, and he lifted up one arm. He said, why don't you massage this arm? Why don't you massage that arm? Why don't you massage this leg? And why don't you massage this leg? And the goat said, listen, you get up and start rowing. Otherwise, yes, we'll take you by your arms and legs and we'll throw you into Manasi Ganga. So begrudgingly, the boatman started rowing again very slowly. And then, amazing thing happened. It was a beautiful day. It was just a fabulous day. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a huge storm just appeared, just like that. And it was just pouring rain and howling wind and hail. The boatman jumped up in the boat and started jumping from one side to the other. So the boat was rocking and water was coming in. And the boatman cried out, it's a storm! It's a storm! And the gopi said, we can see it's a storm. Please, stop jumping around. The water's coming in. Just sit down and row. So the boatman is rowing pretty slowly still. And water is coming in. And boatman said, you know, unfortunately, we are overloaded. You have to throw all your dairy products into Manasi Ganga. So, unwillingly, but they could see they had no choice, the gopis had to throw all their pots in. Because each gopi, on their head, they would carry at least 3, you know, substantial sized pots at least, and sometimes 4. And they could walk with those pots and like climb Govardhan Hill and climb down, and they'd never drop a pot. Can you ladies do that? Are you practice? Oh. And so it's a very important skill for a gopi. And I have personally witnessed with my own eyes. I was in one little village. We were videoing for the Vajmandal Parikrama DVD. And there was a big pump, water pump, which was supplying the whole village, and the ladies would come in the morning and fill up a number of pots and take them home. And this one lady, well, these two ladies, they filled their pots, they're moving away. I don't know what happened, but one of them got really upset with the other one and just started screaming at the other one. And the other one started screaming back at the first one. And then the first one gave the second one a real Chatsworth Unit 3. What happened? And almost knocked the second lady's head right off. But she didn't drop her water pot. And so then it was fisticuffs and kicking and slapping and scratching. It was a real battle. Neither of them dropped their water pots. You see, this is advanced level. So the gopis had to throw all their pots into Manasi Ganga. And boatman continued rowing very slowly. Now the water is building up in the bottom of the boat. And the gopi said, row faster. And the boatman said, we are still overloaded. Throw all your jewelry into Manasi Ganga. Maybe that will make us light enough. And the gopi said, we can't throw our jewelry away. We can't do that. What will our parents say? And the boatman said, all right, well, that's fine. Let us sink and drown in Manasi Ganga, and let us see what your parents say then. So they had to throw their bangles and necklaces and earrings and nose rings and toe rings and anklets and navel rings and the rings in the on the edge of the eye and other types of rings you may not be familiar with. They just had to throw them all in. And boatman continued rowing, but now the water was building up seriously. And boatman said, we may sink. There's only one hope. You must throw all your clothes and money. And the gopis were just shocked. And they said, we know what we'll do. We will reduce the load by throwing you into Manasi Ganga, and we will row. And then the boat was almost sinking, and Radharani panicked. And she just grabbed hold of the boatman, crying, save us, do something, please. And under his chadar, she felt something sort of hard, like a stick or, what is this? And she opened up his chadar, and what did she see? It was a flute. In case you had not got it yet. It's Krishna. It's coming. And then suddenly the storm just disappeared. Completely disappeared. Just like that. And the water went out of the boat, and it was just a magnificent day. And Radha and Krishna and the gopis had boating pastimes for the rest of the day on Manasi Ganga. So you see, this is Manasi Ganga. From here, we will move down. First of all, we'll move down to the Dan Ghati area. It's just sort of the other side of Govardhan town, the edge of Govardhan town. And on the way, we will stop. You know where we'll stop? At the Giriraj, Sweet Shop. And there we will refuel. only having walked maybe, several hundred meters. But it's always good to keep the fuel level high. So we will refuel there with some of the best dokra in the world. But you have to experience it to understand it. Otherwise you just wouldn't understand it. It just, say what you like. If you don't experience it, you will not understand it. And that's it. And plus the son papri, plus the chum chum. Are you familiar with chum chum? if you're a Jew. If you're not, you have not lived. You have wasted 25% of your life. At least. So we refuel there, and then we move into Dan Gati. Dan Gati is the area of the tax collecting pastimes, where Krishna and the cowherd boys confront the gopis very, very strongly, even a little violently, and demand tax. Oh, it is extremely dramatic. Oh, very dramatic. So, we will continue next time from Dan Gati. Where's our program on the what? When we get back?
25th.
Is it 20? We get back on the
22nd.
We get back on the 22nd.
But this Saturday is this Monday. This Monday.
Okay, but the 22nd is what?
It's nothing.
23rd? Nothing.
Day of Tash.
Oh, okay. 24th?
Pretoria.
Yeah,
students.
Oh, okay. So 25th in Santon. Be there or be square. So we will continue. We will leave you. It's a cliffhanger. We'll leave you. We'll meet with you again on the 25th at Santon. Is that okay? And we'll get into some serious tax collecting pastimes. And if you think the boating pastimes were dramatic, oh, just wait for the tax collecting pastimes. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki. Oh, Premanande. Hare Krishna. So now what we're going to do, as I understand, we are going to have arati, yes. We're going to have arati, the altars in the corner here, so everyone can now stand up for arati.